This is the second part of the overview, summary overview of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, titled Perfection, Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation. And today we will be covering the more intensively the second portion. Yesterday we covered the first three sections. This particular chapter has seven divisions. So we allotted three of those for the first overview. And today we'll be focusing on the second, but we also want to just to bring a few newcomers on board. We want to just go over some of the basic information that's important for us to understand in this chapter. Some of it's factual and some of it's philosophical understandings and instructions that we need to apply to our lives. These particular activities that we do are described as facilitations. They're a little bit different from normal lectures in that we ask participants, we call you participants, and we call the person here sitting here the facilitator. The idea is that we try to help you retain information that's essential so that when you leave, we call them take-home points. You actually can recall, this is a meditation, oh, I remember this about this chapter, I remember this instruction, let me try to apply it. It helps increase retention, and that's what the whole idea is, that we're trying to remember Krishna at every moment of our lives, especially as human beings. We've worked lifetimes to come to this position. Every moment is cost. Every moment that lost is the greatest, it's the greatest tragedy. So every moment, if you spend it favorably in Krishna consciousness, you're rightly situated and you're using the best form of the gift of the human form of life. Okay? So we're going to do quickly, we'll look at our little chalkboard here. And we'll look, some of you have your little study guides as well. Some of you are visitors and first time maybe, I don't know if you've got a study guide. Okay. What we do is we first commit a few important points to memory and you can follow along with me. We want to know exactly where we are and we are in what? We are in what book? Sounds basic, Bhagavad Gita, but pretend that we're opening up our computers. Right, as we open up our computers, we go into different files and subfiles. This helps us. Now, these are what we call essential take-home points. We are now in what is called the, what's chapter number, everybody? 18th. Very good. It's important to know these things because it's like locating ourselves for trying to find someplace. You found this room, you had to know where you look. And the important thing we need to know is that this is a conclusive section. Conclusions are always larger, right? And introductions are larger because they cover so much. This particular chapter has how many slokas? 78. These are some of the points. On the inside of the cover of your study guide, you'll find what we call essential take-home points. These are the most general facts about the chapter that you should commit. All right? So 18th chapter has 78 points. 7 to 8 verses. Now, we want to know the title. Sometimes devotees may have to scratch their memories, but it should be on the tip of your tongue, this particular chapter. It's a conclusion, right? So we'll use the symbols or the letters, the code. Conclusion, and it is called the perfection of what? Renunciation. And this leads us to the final conclusion of the entire book. The whole book has been based on coming to this point today. What is renunciation? And what is the perfectional stage of renunciation? And this particular chapter begins actually with that question. Arjuna wants to know what's the purpose of renunciation, chag, and of the renounced order of sannyas. And he's actually carrying that inquiry over from the end of the 17th chapter. Because there we've been describing in the different modes, sacrifice, austerities, and charity. And now this is the link. Well, what's really the purpose? Why am I doing that? What's the link? Okay, so more people have come. Maybe Mataji wants to check if they need a stand. And some of these other gentlemen may. Do you want study guides? No, it's handy. Nice. Yeah, because if you follow it along. So please accept. Mataji has a few, not so many extra. Yesterday the majority were passed out. Okay, so now we sort of revise, we go back, and we quickly see how quickly we can state that. So we are now in the 18th chapter. The title is Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation. It has 78 verses. So you could actually do a little bit of preaching if you're preaching to yourselves or to someone else. It's the idea to be aware so that you are fluent in the material, okay, proficient. Okay, so now we've committed that much. This is the most general information. Now we're starting to get a little more specific. This is what we call zooming in on the satellite. The next thing we should understand is that because it's a conclusion, it has to have the most topics. And of all the chapters, this one has how many topics?
Seven
topics. And we'll be revising those quickly and focusing on four today. The first three we did yesterday, but it has seven topics because it has to cover the entire book. And it's also interesting, it also has seven items. This is a separate seven. Seven items in the modes that affect our consciousness. And we want to go over the important point that we should aim for the mode of goodness in all of these seven items. Because goodness is a safe platform. It is the platform, the springboard for going to pure goodness, in which we are no longer, the soul is no longer covered by contamination. You cannot springboard from passion and ignorance. Not possible. So the goal in this chapter is to see how the modes affect our consciousness and strive for these seven items in the mode of goodness. So yesterday we quickly looked at some theme slides on all the modes and how they affected seven items. So we looked at 21 slides yesterday. Today we may quickly just look at just the ones in goodness as a recap. So everybody understand that? How many topics are there?
Seven.
Okay, and how many items in the modes affect our consciousness?
Seven,
right. And we had a little memory trick on that one the other day, right? Remember that? For those of you who were here, we had what was called a mnemonic link. It's done often. Actually, the Romans and the Greeks did it all the time. In Vedic times, they didn't even need to have, they could remember. But other ages, memory has diminished, including in this age. It's practically zero. That's why we do these things, because we don't have such powerful memories in Kali Yuga, and we have to try to remember Krishna and the details. So yesterday we talked about, we're going to go over that, we talked about R, K, and then we had A, W, and then U, D, and then over here we had H. Now that would be a little bit difficult to remember, but we say a name like Radha Krishna. Can you all repeat that? Radha Krishna. Okay, Radha Krishna stands for Radha stands for renunciation. Not that she does, but she is actually most renounced. And K stands for knowledge. What does K stand for?
Knowledge.
So those two items, renunciation and knowledge, we have to come to those in goodness. Very important. Renunciation means I do my duty and I don't expect anything for it. I do my work, but I don't want the results. That's renunciation and goodness. And knowledge in goodness means that I see according to Scripture. Right? That's different. I don't see externally, I see internally according to Scripture. Okay, now the sentence goes like this. Radha Krishna always wait. What do they do?
Always.
They always wait. Okay. A is for action. What's A for?
Action.
Okay, this is just a memory trick. Okay. And W is for worker. What's it for? Yeah, we're going to see how the modes affect the action of what we do. Everybody has to work, so that's what Arjuna wants to know. Well, how are we be affected? We act. Everybody's acting. You're acting, you're writing, even you're just sitting, you're acting. And the worker, what's he like? How do the modes affect the action and the worker? So action in the mode of goodness means that that action is done according to Scripture, right? And it causes no harm. It's beneficial. The worker in the mode of goodness, he's also characterized as acting dutifully, honestly, with no desire of results. You see these overlap. But these divisions, we want to see how do the modes affect us, because we have to see ourselves in this picture. We are now being affected by the modes if we're somewhat conditioned, proportionately. Radha Krishna always wait. Now let's see these other two items. Krishna describes two more very important ones. U is for understanding. This is critical. You may all be sitting here, but I do not know unless I ask you, did you understand what I just told you, right? That understanding has to be checked. And it's different for everyone here, because everyone here may be on a different platform of spiritual awareness. It doesn't matter, but we're all trying to elevate and help each other. No one should be condemned. We're all progressing. So U is for what?
Understanding.
Yes. What's my understanding? Is my understanding in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance? If it's in the mode of goodness, your understanding is I know what is right and I know what is wrong, and I act accordingly. If you're in passion, you're not sure. And if you're in ignorance, you've got it completely opposite. It's wrong. And how are you sure in goodness? Because you follow scripture, or you follow the spiritual master and the super soul who are representative. That's how we'll know what's right and what's wrong. D, okay, this was dawn. This was determination. How determined are we to succeed in spiritual life? 100%, 50, or 0? Determination in spiritual life has to be absolute. It's not an easy course, right? So that is unbroken, unwavering determination in goodness. If it's in passion, you'll give something up if it's troublesome. And if you're ignorance, you won't bother at all. Right? Determination. So this is how we assess others for our association and how we assess ourselves on how we improve. That's why we have to know this section very well. H is for happiness. Now, that's what everybody, being a soul, is by nature naturally joyful. But in the material stages, there are different ways one sees happiness. Okay, but in happiness, in goodness, means I undertake austerities. They may be poison at the beginning, but at the end, they're nectar. What are they? Nectar, yeah, right? Getting up in the cold weather. You're all performing an austerity. It's cold. You're sitting here listening, trying to elevate yourselves. That's happiness in the mode of goodness. There's actually a sense of well-being that comes from that. In passion, it starts out well, but it always ends in misery. Always. And in ignorance, it's so much an illusion that what they take to be happiness is completely misery from beginning to end. Okay? So goodness means I may undertake an austerity. It may be a little, you know, poison at first, difficult, but I tolerate and I will get the result. In the end, it will bring me elevation and happiness. Okay? Our little sentence was Radha Krishna, repeat. Radha Krishna, always wait until dawn. And H is for hearkens. That means it comes. And now we're going over these because these are the most critical instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. They affect us. Each and every one of us is in line for the time when we give up this body. And our understanding at that time and our spiritual progress will be evaluated, and that will determine our destination. Our great fortune is that the human form of life is the only one in all this area. So in the human form of life, we have choice. We can elevate ourselves either up, or we can degrade and go down, or we can actually end the whole thing and go back to the spiritual platform. Demigods cannot do that. Animals cannot do that. Demigods pray to be humans. Humans are in the mode of passion, but they have the extreme gift of the intelligence and the opportunity to get out of material bondage and reinstate themselves in their eternal spiritual position. So we are greatly fortunate. We should not minimize that or neglect taking it seriously. We're all here in line. None of us is exempt, including myself. Okay, everybody understand this? Radha Krishna, always wait until dawn hearkens. And those are the seven things in which the consciousness is affecting the mind, okay, and our activities. Try for goodness. We'll go over that again. All right, another important thing in this section, we're going to, I think today we want to show you some slides I just did today. So, Abhay, we're going to go to those slides because the idea at the beginning is to take you to the conclusion, the end. What should I walk away understanding from this class? Most percentages show that if I just sit and listen to something and I don't go over it and if I don't have it pointed out and if I don't involve myself, I'll leave with only 20% after a short time. That's a very small percentage of retention. So this is why we're going to give you materials, we look at slides, and we drill. In Kali Yuga, there's no other way. So this slide shows us the three parts of the Gita. We are in the final section. And I've given you symbols that are you see in daily life. If you're used to seeing things in daily life, connect them to Krishna. Don't just say, this is Maya. Connect everything to Krishna, and you're in Krishna consciousness. So that's why we show the world as we see it in many of these slides, not just slides from our books. Because you walk out of the temple, and then you're just bombarded, and what do you think? You can think analogously. That means I'm connecting everything, not only to Krishna, but to what the instruction is here. So here we see a stairway, an elevator, and a lamp. Now, what could that possibly mean? But we connect it. The stairway is the Karma Yoga section. How do I elevate? By Karma Yoga, I elevate. The end of the book is the Gyan section. It's a lamp. By Gyan, we actually get the knowledge to liberate. What do? We get the knowledge for liberation. But that's not enough. And in the middle, we have bhakti, that sandwich, the center section of the Gita, middle six chapters. It's the elevator. Krishna gives us bhakti because it is the direct approach. And it's the only way to get Krishna. The other two processes will not do that. They'll get you close. But without the association of a devotee, you will not get the elevator. And that takes you directly to Krishna. So do you see now how we've connected? So what's the stairway for? Karma Yoga. And what's the lamp for? Gyan Yoga. That's knowledge. And what's the elevator for? The direct process. Direct. By taking the Krishna consciousness, you surpass all other methods and you go directly. Okay, now let's take a look at another one. And we talked about that the Uddhava Gita and the Bhagavad Gita, they're both 18 chapters. Uddhava Gita is in the Bhagavatam and it's more extensive. And the same questions Arjuna asks of Krishna, Uddhava is asking of Krishna. But there's one difference in this section. That in this section, we meet, there's a story in a story, of an Avadhut Brahmana. King Yadu meets an Avadhut Brahmana who becomes self-realized by doing what we were just doing. He looked at the world and he saw a lesson. Not just Krishna. He saw a lesson. So this is what we're showing today. We're showing you pictures from our everyday world, but there's an instruction there. This is my lesson. What should I do? Or what should I not do? Because a lesson can be positive or negative. I should do that, and no, I don't want to do that. Okay, so this is the difference. And here's the value, how Krishna is saying, in the human form of life, I have the ability to directly or indirectly search through apparent and indirect objects to learn the truth. The Brahmana became self-realized that way. The world becomes your teacher, your guru. Okay? Next slide. And here he is. He's described as being Dattatreya. Okay? Okay, go ahead. Now, here you have a boomerang. Now, you won't see these in India, but you'll see them in Australia. Okay? And the boomerang we've chosen, because it's a symbol of karma yoga. If you don't perform service for Krishna, you have to take the reaction for what you do. That means whatever you did, the reaction has to come. It has to come. You'll see these in Australia. And they throw them out, and it's like they try to catch them also. So unless work is done for the Yajnapati, for Vishnu or Krishna, you'll have to take the reaction, subtle or gross. This is the difference between karma yoga and gyan. Gyan is subtle reaction. You think you're doing it. If you say that, you may be giving up the gross results, but even if subtly you think you should get the self-satisfaction, you have to take a reaction for that. That's why gyan is so important. It doesn't, without gyan, you can't get to Brahma Bhuta. Because that's the psychological stage of renunciation. So the boomerang represents the law of karma, action, and what?
Reaction.
Your work, everything you do, is creating an action that will bring a what?
Reaction.
Unless it is done for?
Krishna.
Whoa. And that means birth, death, old age, and disease again and again and again and again. Heavy. This is not preschool Mickey Mouse subject matter. This is serious. Okay, our next slide. Carrot and the stick. What motivates people? In the material concept, this is a story, the carrot and the stick. You see the donkey has a carrot on the stick, right? Most people are motivated by two opposing things. The carrot, I want it. The stick, I don't. Right? Attraction, repulsion. Or gain, or pleasure or pain. I want pleasure, but I don't want pain. But is anybody materially conditioned acting to serve Krishna? Is he? No. And that's the only thing that's going to get him out, right? Okay, so the carrot and the stick. And we have a couple of other pictures there. The carrot is a famous, this is what they use in business to motivate different kinds of people. They promise them a reward, and if they don't get it, they'll get a loss in salary. And here's a cartoon about it. The rabbit says, I like carrots, and the woodchucker says, I like. Sometimes I find humor as representatives of that. Sort of funny. All right, this is the gyan symbol. What's this? Anybody recognize where we are here? Yeah, we're inside an airplane, the cockpit. Okay, so you're on an airplane. Many devotees have to go on airplanes, get visas or fly somewhere, right? So when you're in an airplane, what do you think of? Oh, I want to get off the airplane, right? Okay, but if you're in the cockpit, there are two people up there. Now in America, they require four people. They have to have two extra people, not just two. You have a pilot and you have a co-pilot. So what do I learn from this, from the gyan section? From the gyan section, the thing that will keep me from reaction is awareness of super soul. Super soul. He's the five factors of work. He's the fifth factor, and he is the one that sanctions something. Because Arjuna says, well, how can somebody who's working in Krishna consciousness be freed of reaction and somebody else isn't? Because he's aware of Supersoul and he acts under the order of Supersoul and thereby he is freed from reaction. So the pilot is representative of Supersoul and the co-pilot is, who's that? Who's that? Us, right? You're all the co-pilots.
Soul.
Right, the soul, the individual. There are other factors. Okay, next, we're going to look at that. Now, this is a representation of, you see the mixed colors and the modes? The modes are always acting and they're fluctuating. They're taking us up and down and competing. But it's also a sample of what's called biorhythms. And biorhythms represent charts that show how in any period of time for anyone, we will have high periods and low periods where things are going very well and things are going very badly. And that's what happens if you're not in spiritual life. You'll be getting these ups and downs and ups and downs, and they will disturb you will not have peace of mind to practice spiritual life. So here you see, this is for anybody. The scientists have recognized this, but they don't know the cause behind it. They see the effect, but they don't know the cause. You see a triple high after so many days. You'll see a triple low. Have anybody been in those periods? I'm feeling really great today. Oh God, it couldn't be worse. These ups and downs, the secret is to stay equipoised, and that can only be done when you're fixed in your service. These things will not affect you. Prabhupada could go into the Bowery, he could be in a palace, he would be the same. He was not experiencing happiness or distress, he was fixed in his service. Okay, that's the lesson from the biorhythm chart. This is for karma yoga. How do I act and I'm not affected? Okay, the next section. This is how do I work according to my nature, the fourth section. Critical. Each one of us has two types of duty, dharma, right? Two. If you're conditioned, you have two. If you're liberated, you have one. Right now, we have two duties. We have conditional duties, according to the body that we acquired at birth? Can you all say that? Conditional? Loudly? Yeah, don't be afraid. Conditional, because the audience on the radio can benefit if you participate. And we have what's called constitutional. What's that one? Yes, that's the duty from the soul platform. This one's external. It changes according to the body. It can be different. It will be different. It can change even in one lifetime, from the time you're little to the time you grow up. But the spiritual duties, do they change? No, because they're eternal duties. Now, most people walking out, they're not involved in spiritual life. They're not aware of that. I have spiritual duties to perform. But a devotee does, and these are two tracks, and they should be parallel. They should not conflict. My conditional duties, until I'm liberated, depend on my body, psychophysiological nature. If I'm a brahmana, if a vaishya, I'm a kshatriya, I'm a shudra, I will have certain prescribed duties, and I should do them for Krishna. If I don't, what happens? What happens?
Reaction.
And my constitutional duties I should be performing. Because the more I do that, the more these I become freed from. So my constitutional duties are the same. Those of you who are sitting here, we're sitting here, we're hearing Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing the same Shastra, we're chanting Hare Krishna. We're following regulative principles if you've taken to devotional service. It's the same. But these will be different because they're based on external and those are based on internal. Do you see the point? Now here you see the gopis and Krishna on top, and on the bottom you see Lord Chaitanya. Because there are two levels in the spiritual world. Some people are in both, Chaitanya Lila and Krishna Lila. Some people are in one or the other, or prefer one or the other. But Lord Chaitanya represents how the spiritual activities are manifest here in the material world. We're part of the Lord Chaitanya mission. Prabhupada certainly was. We're part of it. Do you understand that? So you have Vanashram Dharma. That's Swadharma, and you have devotional service. That's your other one. Everybody, this is critical to understand. You have two tracks. All right, now let's take a look at the symbol for that. And I showed this yesterday. Lemons and lemonade. Well, what does that have to do with this class? Again, learn to how to think it. Prabhupada always used analogies. They make life easier. And they make philosophy a lot more understandable. The material body is considered a bad bargain. Prabhupada says it all the time. It's a bad bargain. We chose to come here, and we're suffering. The body is a reaction to previous sin. That's it. The body is nothing but a combination of accumulation of previous sinful reactions. This is your Prarabdha karma. We're all sitting in our Prarabdha karma right now. Now, how do I turn lemons into lemonade? Because that's what they say in the West. If you get a lemon, turn it into lemonade. Make the negative a positive. I engage my body according to my nature, my psychophysiological nature, in the service of the Supreme, and thereby I can attain the perfectional stage. By knowing I'm part of Krishna, my duty is to serve him. If I do it to the best of my ability, he's given me this body to do what I can do by my nature, I can perfect myself. Perfect. So you have an opportunity by the mercy of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada to perfect yourself despite the bad bargain. Okay, let's look at the next symbol. This is also the work section, important law. Do your own work. Don't do somebody else's. You'll not be protected and you'll not do well. And you shouldn't do it. You'll get in their way, and you'll also incur sin. That's what Arjuna wanted. He wanted to be a brahmana, but he's a kshatriya. He can't do it, and he won't be able to do it for very long, and he'll incur sin. Do what your nature says. If you're a brahmana, be a brahmana. If you're a kshatriya, be a kshatriya. But do it for Krishna. That's the point. And you see here the musicians. Some are playing, this is a good analogy, some are playing violin, some are playing cellos, some are playing flutes, tuba, horns. Each of them has a different instrument to play. We're going to be watching a brief clip at the end on instruments. They don't play somebody else's music. They play theirs, and they follow the director. Two things. I do my work, and I watch Super Soul. Then I'm perfect. If I step out of my chair and I tell the violinist, you're not doing it right, you'll bother him, and you won't play your part. You're actually encroaching. That happens. You're encroaching on somebody else's duty. You have to do your duty and follow the direction of Super Soul. So that's the lesson in an orchestra. It's the same thing. Okay, next. Airplanes. This is for the next section. Airplanes are either in the airport or they're in the air. Right? Where are they? Airport or in the air. And they have to land. Right? Okay, they have to land. All right, if they're in the airport, that's practicing devotional service. We're getting ready. The next slide is compared to Brahmabhuta. We're in the air. We've transcended the modes. We're off the ground. We're not under the effects of the three modes anymore. That's the fifth section. But that's not the end. Because the airplane has to reach a destination. And the person who is in the stage of they're satisfied with Brahman realization, they stay there. But they have to come back down. It's not the safe final platform. So the airplane analogy means I've gone to the airport, I've gotten on the plane, but I have to become transcendental to the modes. Transcended, they've gotten up out of the effect. Okay, the next picture. Keys. Keys unlock things. They keep things confidential, right? There are three stages of confidential information in this chapter. Confidential, more confidential, and most confidential. So the airplane analogy is confidential. That's the beginning of spiritual understanding. The next slide shows us a single key. We elevate to Paramatma realization and finally Krishna. Krishna, right? The highest form, Krishna. All right? That is the most confidential knowledge, and meditation of the form on the form of Krishna without interruption is the most confidential knowledge in all of the Vedic literature. Fixing the mind on Krishna is the most he says, always think of me. That is the most confidential knowledge. And you're sitting here, you've heard it. Practicing it may be a little challenging, but that is it. Okay, next. And the final section is victory. This is a gold medal, right? Victory is predicted at the very end by Sanjaya. Arjuna agrees to fight, and victory is predicted. Because one who surrenders to Krishna, if he surrenders, it's in his benefit. It's not necessarily Krishna's benefit. It's in our benefit. We're meant to be serving him. We're not doing it, or we haven't been doing it. We're trying to do it now. But that is in our benefit. And we will also learn in this final section the benefits of preaching, the benefits of studying, and the benefits of just sitting and listening. Those of you who are here and you're just listening, by doing that, you're guaranteed going to the spiritual, to higher planets.
What was the second piece? I didn't hear it.
Second one, yeah. By explaining it, you're dear to Krishna. By studying it, you're worshiping him. Right now, that's what we're doing. We're studying. Studying and listening are two different things. Studying means I'm analytical. We're being very analytical today. I'm listening, though. If you're just coming to listen, you can go to the higher planetary systems. The benefits of Gita are so great. And Krishna says, there'll never be anyone more dear to me, and you're guaranteed pure devotional service. The Gita is a very important book. It should never be minimized. Never, never. It's essential. ABC, but essential. Try to learn a language without learning the alphabet. Can't do it. Okay? So now let's look at some slides here, because I wanted to know, these are the important points, and then we'll get into more detail. Karma Yoga, the instruction is, let's read it together. Perform prescribed duty, but renounce the results. That's the instruction of the Karma Yoga section. You have to do your work. Never does the Gita say, don't do your work. Arjuna was not told, sit down on the chariot, I'll fight it out for you. No. He wasn't even promised assurance of victory. Krishna said, I'd rather see you die in the battle than give it up. He said that. You'll become inglorious if you give it up. So you have to do your work, both conditional and constitutional, and you cannot expect the results. That is what is renunciation. Arjuna is asking, what is renunciation? You do the work, you don't renounce work, but you renounce the fruit with no expectation, as a sense of matter of duty. And the benefit, what's the benefit? Everybody? Loudly? Freedom from reaction. There is benefit to spiritual austerities and sacrifice and charity. There's not as though there's no. The benefits are spiritual, not material. Material gain is temporary and binding. It's actually abominable. It keeps people here. Everybody thinks, oh, yes, I'm getting something. You're not getting anything more than misery and repeated birth and death. It's abominable. It's cheating. Next. This is part two. Part two, remember, was gyan. Part two, gyan yoga, the instruction. What are you supposed to do? Loudly? Yes, that's how I safely act. If I'm taking directions from Supersoul, either coming from the Shastra or the spiritual master, he's the external manifestation of Supersoul. If I do that, my actions are not going to bind me, nor will they give me a reaction. Arjuna, if he fights under the order of Krishna, is not bound. Even if he's killing soldiers, he's not going to suffer the reaction. So what's the benefit of doing that? Right. So if you have a proper spiritual master and you're acting under his orders, whatever you're doing, you're sitting here, everybody's doing something. You're going to walk out that door, you're going to be doing something. You're going to go home, you're going to be eating something. You are either going to incur karma or you're not. There's nobody here who's not going to be affected one way or the other. It's up to you. All right, next. Part three, the modes. What's the instruction? And avoid at all costs passion and ignorance. Goodness elevates, passion and ignorance degrade. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So you have to know, well, what constitutes goodness? And am I doing it? Am I in it? If I'm not, am I moving towards goodness? We looked at those slides yesterday. Okay, next, benefit. And elevation, what was the benefit back again for goodness? It elevates us to visuddhisattva, pure goodness, right? It's a stepping stone. You can't skip. Okay, next. Now the fourth section. You skipped the turquoise. Is this it? Yeah, okay. Working according to my body, my nature. What's the instruction? Yes, don't try to be a Brahmana if you're Kshatriya. And if you're a Sudra, don't say you're a Brahmana just because you were born in a Brahma family. You may not be. It goes by your nature, your guna and your karma qualities. You can't pretend. They may, and that's what doesn't work. That's why India's system isn't working. The caste system is actually, it's not the Daivi Varnashram system. That's meant to elevate, not to restrict people. Or falsely designate people. They've got it wrong. Okay, and the benefit. What's the benefit? I can be elevated perfectional stage. What happens? Because every duty will have disadvantages. But if you do them regardless, you become purified and you become self-realized. That's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. You become automatically self-realized by following your nature and offering it to Krishna. Any inebrieties in the system or the practices or in the work itself become completely absolved by Krishna. That's also when you say Om Tat Sat. That was explained in the 17th chapter. It's purified. You're free. You're safe. The body's going to make mistakes. The work has deficiencies, but you do it and you become self-realized. That's what Prabhupada writes. Okay, the next section. This is the one on going from gyan to bhakti. What's the instruction? Yes, remember that chart? Remain equipoised. Be free of false ego. Be free of anger and attachment and unhappiness and distress. Stay steady, equipoised. I see everybody on the soul platform. I see equally. no matter whether the job is difficult or it's not, I do it. And that will elevate me to what? Yes, the airplane off the ground. If I do that, I'm Brahma-Bhuta. I have no more connection with my body or mind. That's a very high platform. That's just the beginning of bhakti. We're practicing bhakti. We're in the airport hangar. But the Brahma-Bhuta stage means I have no psychophysiological connection with the body or the mind. Very elevated. And that begins spiritual life. We're talking about, you know, Bhagavad Gita, ABC, but, you know, who's got it? Okay, next. Now, the next stage, surrender. What's the instruction? Right, and it's in our benefit. It's in our benefit. And those are the last two. The first one you saw was that last one you saw was Brahma-Bhuta. This is realization of Paramatma, and even higher realization of Krishna, Bhagavan realization. And what's the benefit of surrendering to Krishna? Yeah, freedom from sin. He means, I promise I will save you from all sinful reaction and you will attain me. You're getting Krishna. What could be higher? You know, he's your best friend. We ignore him, right? He can do everything for you. We don't like to serve him. How foolish we were. Hopefully we're coming out of our stupidity. Okay, and finally, the last section, victory. What's the instruction here? So everybody here is participating, right? You're hearing it. Those of you who just walked in, maybe for the first time, I don't know. But it says you can, Prabhupada writes, you can go to Dhruvaloka just by sitting and listening attentively with faith. You can be elevated to the higher planets. And if you study it, you're worshiping Krishna. It's a form of worship. He says, always think of me, worship me. You're worshiping Krishna by studying Bhagavad Gita. It's a form of worship. And if you explain it, oh my goodness, as we're trying to do, and I hope you'll try to do, that's why the preachers take it so seriously, you're guaranteed pure devotional service, and at the end you will attain Krishna. What a promise, huh? Anybody want to go to Krishna? What do you want? Okay. What should you do? Explain Bhagavad Gita. So when you walk out of here, grab someone and say, hey, can I tell you something about chapter 18? Don't minimize Bhagavad Gita. And he says, never will there be anyone more dear. He doesn't say, oh, in the next millennium, this book will be more. No, never will there be anyone more dear. This is it, folks. All right? So, did you find that helpful? All right, let's now take a quick look at some of the slokas from that section. So we're going to look at pictures because these classes really go fast. But we spend a lot of time on the topics because if you know the basic structure, the details fall into place. Without the structure, the details may wind up in a different category. Okay, we're starting now with 41 because this section has eight verses. And I'll show that on the chart really fast. We did this yesterday, and I had fun doing this. Some of you were here, and some of you were not. So, we'd like to show numbers so we know how big the sections are. And the other day, we talked about noon, and we talked about midnight. What are the numbers on the clock for both? 12 and 12. Okay, so this side, we're going on the clock. We're going to go round the clock. This is the end of the chapter, or the beginning of the chapter, and this is the end. And both have 12 verses. So midnight is when we're in darkness still. And noon is we have come into high light, right? Noon is the brightest, and midnight is dark. So the beginning Karma Yoga section has how many verses? 12. And the end surrender has how many? Victory has 12. And then we went down and we made a little clock here. This one is where we're starting today. This is the section on doing your work according to your nature. And how many, we use a number to to anchor the information. How many gopis are there?
Eight.
Major gopis. All right. So 12 and 12. This is Karma Yoga. This is Victory. And this is the Vanashram system, 4-4, right? According to my nature. Now we have two more numbers here to learn, and we'll find an easy way to do that. How many Goswamis are there in Vrindavan that are famous? How many?
Six.
Six Goswamis, and that's also half of 12. That's how big the Gyan section is. Very short, but extremely critical and very technical. Very technical. And this number, we talked about how many times Haridas Thakur was beaten in how many marketplaces?
22
times. That's how big that section is. 22 slokas. Krishna gives so much attention to the modes. So 12 are for karma yoga. 6 are for how many? How many verses for the next one? What's the next topic? Gyan. And then we have the modes. How many verses for the modes? 22. Big. Yeah, it's not a small topic. It's in three chapters. Chapter 14, chapter 17, and chapter 18. That's because we're made of them. We're bound by them. Serious business. We act according to them until we're acting in bhakti. Now, working according to my nature, how many slokas are there? 8 slokas. And we'll talk about, we're going to go through those quickly. And then this is easy. 7-11, and we said that yesterday in the West. It's still, I don't know if it's still there, but there's a store opens at 7 and it closes at 11 at night. So it's known by 7-11, if any of you have been to the West. So 7 are on how to go from, this is the Brahma-Bhuta platform, right? From Gyan to Bhakti. And 11 is the stage of surrender. I have to surrender to Krishna. This is the one for victory. These are the benefits of surrender. 11 for surrender, okay? 12, 6, 22, 8, 7, 11, and back to 12. That just shows us the breakdown of these 7 topics. When we study, we have to find ways to entertain our mind because otherwise it's drudgery and we won't bother in Kali Yuga. But if we have ways that make it creative and also help us think of Krishna, then our study becomes pleasurable as well as beneficial. All right, so now let's take a look at some of the pictures that go with the slides for these slokas. Remember, this section has 8. And here we have a picture that shows how are these different qualities distinguished. This is an introductory sloka. A yellow is for goodness. Pink is for, what do you think? What mode? Passion. And what about blue?
Ignorance.
Okay. So these show us the breakdown of the four varnas. Okay? I'm sorry. Yeah, the varnas. The brahmana, the kshatriya, and the vaishya, and the shudra. So the brahmana is in what mode?
Goodness.
And the kshatriya is in what mode?
Passion.
And the vaishya, he's also partly in passion. He's also partly in
ignorance.
And what about the shudra?
In
ignorance. Okay? Brahmana in goodness, vaishya, kshatriya in passion, vaishya in both passion and ignorance, and the shudra in ignorance. All right, next. Now we have a few slides sometimes for the same verse. In this verse, this next verse, the qualities of the Brahmana, many, 9. He's peaceful, self-controlled, honest, religious, tolerant. So many qualities for the Brahmana. These are the natural qualities. And that's how you can distinguish if somebody's Brahminical. Is he truthful? Is he clean? Is he peaceful? Is he self-controlled? Is he religious? Okay? Next. I think there's a... Oh, yeah. Now here's the Kshatriya. There are 7 qualities, 9 qualities for the Brahmin, 7 for the Kshatriya. Heroism, right? And we see them there. Power, determination. When I stop, you can read the next word, if you will. Generosity and what?
Leadership.
Yes, they're leaders. There have to be Kshatriyas. It's not easy to sit in the helm of a temple president's seat. Very difficult job. And they have, these are the natural qualities for the Kshatriya. And you see here many of our ISKCON devotees. They have to lead a society. That's not an easy job. Okay? How about the Vaishya? Okay, and we have a few pictures of different... Vaishya has 3 qualities. Notice they have fewer and fewer. Farming, cow protection, and business. So we have some different farms. I think this was in Australia. We have a picture of another one. I don't remember where this one was. Cow protection. And I had another one. Even Matajis can do farm. You know, they can work in the garden, whatever. These are not restrictive, but some people predominantly do these things. They're good at it. They can raise crops. They can sell them on the marketplace. Not all of us could do that. Okay? So those are the three qualities of the Vaishya. And the last one, do we have a picture? No, I think the sutra was in that. Now this section, and I chose Jayananda for all these pictures because he's so well known. And this shows you the power of bhakti. Here's a picture of Jayananda when he was a little boy. And that's his father and his mother and a typical 1940s, 50s picture in America. Do you think when he's in that little picture there, and here he is, I think he's in college. He was always such a down-home goodness type of American type in the old days, which had some good qualities, you know. Do you think when he was in those pictures, he ever thought that he would be worshipped throughout the world as a saint? Do you think he thought that when he was little?
No.
Did any of you, when you were little, and if you, especially those of us who came from the West, did we ever, when we were 8 years old or 10, did we ever think we'd wind up in Vrindavan? I never heard of the place. I never even heard of Krishna. If you were born in India, you heard of Krishna at least. Do you think in that his mother or his father knew our little boy is going to be worshipped for 10,000 years as a saint? The point of this is that every man can become what?
Perfect.
Now hear how this can be done. You're all possible. Maybe you're the next one on the Vaishnav calendar. Right? Who knows? We may be sitting to the next saint for 10,000 years. Anyone. And now hear from me. Now here's Jayananda. He was, because his background was in engineering, he was really into building the carts. He's Mr. Rathyatra. He was worked like anything. He drove a taxi cab. He used to bring in bananas to the temple. He did all kinds of labor. He became a saint. He used to repair cars. Did that restrict him to being a sudra? No, bhakti can get you out of those designations. He became a Vaishnav saint. Okay, that was another picture there. Here he is on the book, The Beautiful Life of Jayananda. There are books about him. Every time his disappearance day, we listen to his wonderful glories. He was good not only in his service, quantity, but in his relationships. Perfect. Everybody loved Jayananda. People would cry when he left his body. Okay, next. And here he is. How do I become perfect? By worship of the Lord. All beings, who is the source of all beings, a man can attain what?
Perfection.
Through performing his work. Don't think that if I have to do something because of my nature, I can't become perfect in Krishna. That's not true. Jayananda is such an example. Okay, perfection, there he is in the Rathyatra. You see him over here, and there's Prabhupada on the card. Okay, next. And some rules to this one. Do your own work, not the person next to you or somebody else, or try to be what you're not. It won't work, and you will be incurring sin, and you can't do it for very long. You can't pretend for too long. It's going to show up really fast. Okay, next. And I have some cute pictures of that. Now, in India, this probably wouldn't be so likely. But in the West, this little boy is 11 years old, and he's a prodigy. He's a conductor of an orchestra. That's his nature. He qualifies. This was Prabhupada's genius. He never restricted anybody because of externals. If somebody was good at it, do it. That's why the movement blossomed. That's the one thing Indian has to appreciate that this movement gives. It's not the caste system. And if it starts to act accordingly, it's just the same old stuff. Prabhupada was transcendental to that. This little boy's 11 years old. He's in a black body. two disqualifications according to somebody's, what should a conductor be? And he's the director of an orchestra. Another picture. Who's that? Does anybody know her? This is Princess, what's her name? She's the Princess of England right now. She's a musician. And she was invited, she's an expert musician, she was invited to conduct the orchestra for a performance. She could do it. Now, normally, if it's a king or queen, is not going to step in and go in and lead an orchestra. No way. But they invited her to do that, and she knew how to do it. So let her do it. Let her do it. And everybody's happy. You see the people in the audience. Yeah, I can't think of her name right now. I don't follow so much the news with the... But she's the wife of the prince in line.
Yeah.
Okay? This also, now many more women are being allowed to be conductors, and they're very good. They're accepting that. If they're good, let them do it. Prabhupada took that, yeah. Look at Jamuna, my goodness. What could you do beyond? Jamuna will be famous for the next 10,000 years, too. Next. Now, here's a joke. Here, these people are trying to play somebody else's instrument. Does it work? No. Next. One more. Here's a little boy in Russia. He's 4 years old, or three or four. And he's allowed to play in the orchestra. He's an expert drummer. Is he being restricted because he's 4 years old? No. Okay, let's take a look at some more. Now, here's a famous analogy. Every service has its problems. Don't think the Brahmins or the Vaishyas or the Sudras or the leaders or the temple presidents, sannyasis have it easy. Every service, every varna, every ashram has its problems. Fire has smoke, but fire is still useful. So you should do your work despite the flaws. There are two reasons people give up their work. One, they think, I don't do it well enough, let me do something else. Or the work is not ideal. There are problems to the work. I don't want to do business because I'll have to earn money, and that's not Krishna conscious. So don't give up your work because of that. The secret is engage things properly. Don't give up your work. Even if you're not expert, and even in the work has problems. So here, that's the analogy. And there's another one here. The next picture, the lady, she's cooking despite the smoke. The fire's essential. Your work is essential. It will have problems. We're in the material world. But don't give up the work because you're not perfect. You won't be. And don't give up the service because it has inherent flaws. By doing it for Krishna, remember we said, he neutralizes all the defects, and you become self-realized. Read that purport. It's brilliant. Okay, next. Here's another picture. You see a yogi of the fire again. And there's always smoke with fire. Okay? Now, this next section is how do we get freedom from... this is the word. Is how do the perfectional stage of freedom for reaction... That's the whole point of this chapter. How do we become free from reaction? Because every time I do, I get bound up more and more. All right, so one who is self-controlled and unattached. Is this sloka number 49, right? This starts the next section, I believe. This is the how to go from... And here are the qualities. He says, son of Kunti, hear from me how we can attain this. This is the highest stage of knowledge at this point. This is the confidential section. Okay, and here you see we use Dhruva for this because Dhruva is a good example. Okay, so Dhruva is inquiring as to how to be perfected. And he summarizes it. And here's all the qualities. You'll see them in every chapter of the Gita. Be equipoised, be equal in happiness and distress, be equal to friends and enemies, be free of false ego, be free of anger, lust, and greed. You'll see this in every chapter because this is the stage of equanimity and it's the beginning to Brahma Bhuta. Okay? So these are qualities you get from verse 51 to 53. You'll be purified that way. Your consciousness is purified. But you have to come to the mode of goodness to attain this. And here you see little Dhruva. He's in a secluded place. He's not eating anything. He's even not drinking. Or he's not even breathing. Okay, next picture. And he becomes self-realized. And by the grace of the Lord, the touch of the Lord, Okay, next picture. And this is the Brahma-Buddha platform, famous verse 1854. What's the result? Is there anybody here who wants to be joyful?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
That's it. Brahma-Buddha, if you are, you've attained it. And in that state, he's in pure devotional service. That's the beginning of bhakti. 1854, that's the Brahma-Buddha. Brahma-Buddha prasanatma. Okay? Narada Muni's example. And there's Dhruva. And then what's the qualification? You can enter the kingdom of God. And Dhruva made it. And his mother did too. She took him, she came along with him. That's the beauty of the Brahma. That's the beauty of being a devotee. You can take your family with you. Tell them, don't worry, I'm a devotee, and you can come too. Okay, next section. Now, I think this is still in that 50-60. Now we're starting this other section. What happens in this surrender stage? Now, I love these slokas, because Krishna is very, in Prabhupada's translations, the word that you see in one sloka appears in the next sloka, and then it connects us to the next one and the next one. So here the word is protection. Krishna is saying, if you just surrender unto me, you engage all your activities to me, you work under my what? You're protected. Out there they have no shelter. Their shelter they think is my relatives, my money. That's not shelter. It's durashraya. It's not shelter. It can be taken away at a moment. But the shelter of Krishna, that's real shelter. And here's Prabhupada on the boat. That's a famous story. You know how in the dream he sees all the avatars coming. Okay? All right, next. Now, notice he said, if you act under my protection, the word shows up in this sloka, but he adds another word. He said, now depend on what? Me. You're under my protection. Now what should you do? You should depend on me in all activities. Now he ends with the word what? Conscious. Do you see that? Be conscious of me. Each time he's adding more. First work under my protection, then depend on me. But be what?
Conscious
of me. Krishna consciousness. That takes us to a higher level. And the next you'll see. Next, conscious. There it is. It shows up again. Be conscious of me. Now we're going to see what happens. By my grace. Nothing will happen without Krishna's grace. And if you don't do it, he says, you will be falsely directed. You may do what you want to do. I'm not going to force you. But if you don't act according to might, you're going to be acting by false ego and you will be falsely guided. Next. You will be compelled to act by your what? Your own
nature.
You'll be forced to act, compelled. And Arjuna has been arguing the whole time, right? Or he's asking questions. At the beginning he was arguing. He didn't want to fight. So he had to be convinced for our sake. Arjuna's evolved, but for our sake, he's acting as a spokesperson. Next. And now it's explained why every one of us is being driven like on a car, on a machine. We're being driven by our senses. And if they're not being directed by the guidance of the super soul or Krishna, it's out of control. Have you noticed, are people out of control? On New Year's Eve, what were people doing? They were completely out of control and suffering and starting a new year the wrong way. So this is what happens if you don't have the driver, which is super soul, controlling your actions. You cannot, you're out of control. Your life is taken in all directions. Okay, next. And grace again. By your grace you will attain peace and the supreme eternal abode. Okay, next picture. Now you're allowed to think about it. Krishna doesn't force you. You have free will. He doesn't take that away from you. Okay, deliberate. And we saw those keys earlier. We use them again. This is the most confidential knowledge. Okay, next. Always what? Think of me. Let's say this one. Always what? Think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me, offer your homage, 4 steps. Thus you will what? Come to me without? I what? Promise you this. Why? Because you're my very dear friend. All right, next. And abandon all varieties. These two verses are the famous ones. Abandon all varieties of religion and just what? Surrender unto me. I shall what? Deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Those two verses are the perfection of the renunciation process. Okay? And this should, confidential knowledge should not be explained. He tells you in this section, this final section, who should and shouldn't hear it. People who are not what? They're not austere. They're not what? Devoted. They're not what? Engaged in devotional service. Or they're envious. Right. Now, the pure devotee is more tolerant and giving than the Lord because they take the risk. Because if someone at least sits and hears, he can become purified. He can become purified. Prabhupada certainly took the risk. Look there, his audience, they didn't know what was happening. Okay, next. And what's guaranteed? If you explain this, what do you get a guarantee of? Pure devotional service, and at the end, you'll come to Krishna, right? And then he says, there'll never be, in the next one, what? There will never be one more dear. Prabhupada was certainly dear to Krishna. Proven, right? Proven. Next. And I declare that he who
studies.
Okay, you're all in this category. You're worshiping Krishna right now. You worship by your what? Your intelligence. And the next one. And if you just sit here and listen, what happens? You become free from sinful reaction and you attain the auspicious planets where the pious dwell, just by listening. That's why Prabhupada set up the temples so people come here, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Next. Now he's asking, are you attentive? That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita too. Krishna Das Kaviraj said, now please listen with attention. Please hear this attentively. Have you heard this with an attentive mind? Okay, next. And Arjuna responds, yes. Thank you. I've regained my consciousness and my illusion is over. I'm free from doubt and I'm prepared to act according to your what? Instructions. He's ready to fight. He will fight, but he has to fight with the right reason, for the right reason, for the right cause, and in the right consciousness. Because how you fight and for whom you fight will determine whether you have to take a reaction or not. Next. And there's a picture of where the Gita was spoken. And Sanjaya is telling us, look at the words that are here. These are ecstasy words. They're success words. Wonderful. How wonderful this message is. My hair is standing on end. He's not bored. He doesn't think there's something. You say, okay, next. And he said, how did I get the mercy? By the mercy of Vyas. That's what's so nice about the Gita, because Vyas is the writer. But he cleverly empowers Sanjaya, who has to explain it to somebody who can't see. So that's how we got it. Because if Vyas is just writing it, there's no dialogue. But there's a dialogue now between Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. And because Sanjaya can see the battle, we can now hear through Sanjaya the discourse between Arjuna and Krishna. It's very clever. Vyas wrote this. Vyas wrote this. He's the original speaker. But we get these other interplays that bring it to life. Okay, next. Thrilled. Is this boring? No, he's thrilled. And I take pleasure being thrilled at what? Every moment. Not just on occasion. Oh, that was a good part. Right? And next. And I rejoice. I hear it again and again. And the more I think of Krishna and the form of Krishna, that's what you're advised to do. Think of the two-arm form. That's the highest, most confidential information in all Vedic literature. Constant meditation on the two-arm form of Shyamasundara. That is the topmost meditation. Nothing higher. And there we are. Victory is predicted. And wherever there's victory, we get four things. We get what? Opulence, victory, power, and morality. And morality, my God, they'll talk about the Bhagavad Gita and it's being fought on a battlefield and we're killing millions. That's moral? That's why the Gita cannot be understood except by a devotee. And he ends, that is my opinion. Now we're going to look at a picture of the last word in the purport of the Bhagavad Gita. Because people say, Radharani's not in the Bhagavad Gita. But she is. We have that final picture. Our ending slide. Where's our ending slide? The last word of the purport. What's this? Our Radharani's lotus feet. Prabhupada writes, if one follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, he is rightly placed in his position in the internal potency. That's Radharani. She's there. Wherever the internal potency is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that's Radharani. So does anybody want that?
Yes.
That is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. Do you like that? All right. Now we're going to do one quick little exercise. I hope you will like it, and then we'll look at some quick slides on the slide series. I want you to watch me. We do this when we do retreats. I've done this quite a number of times, and you have to do this with me. How would you like to know in just 3 minutes the major themes in the Bhagavad Gita? Is there anybody here who would like to know that? Okay, but you have to do this with me. Are you ready? You can put your pens down and your papers down, but you have to follow. Now these go, there are 16 themes in the Bhagavad Gita, 12 main ones, and 4 of them are subdivisions. All right? Because when you walk out of here and somebody asks you, well, what's in the Bhagavad Gita? You could tell them 16 themes. Okay? Right? Now we're going to not do that. We're going to do the signals first because you learn the signals and then the slides will matter. Okay, everybody do this? I think that's a good idea. We'll do the signal with the slide, okay? What's this one? Now, this is a progression because you'll see that these 16 themes are actually from the entry level of bhakti to the topmost position. It goes that way. All right. What's this one? Yes. Any other book you know tell you about this? No. No university. No school. And this is the beginning. You have to realize that the Bhagavad Gita has information that's nowhere else on the planet by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Be grateful. Everybody say Haribo. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Okay, so that's the first topic. Now, what's hard is we go to the end. Can you go to the last slide? What we do is we use the sandwich approach because somebody thinks, oh, I'll never get to number 16. So we go to the end right away. Okay, what's the last one? Ananya Bhakti. That's uninterrupted, unalloyed devotional service. That's the goal. That's 12B. Okay, let's do 12A. Go back one. Because 12A is just bhakti. Right. I don't know if it, maybe somebody's here at the Ananya Bhakti platform. I'm not, but, you know, it's what we want. And so 12A is what? Here's your signal. Let's do it, everybody. Thank you. And what's this one? Very good. Okay, now we're going to repeat them really quickly. What was the first one?
Soul.
Say it loudly. The people on the audience, they're wondering, what are we doing? All right. And what's this one?
Bhakti.
And this one?
Ananya.
Okay, you know 3 out of 16, right? We always tell people what you know. All right, let's go to number 2 slide. What's this one? Characteristics of a self-realized person. Right, Brahma Buddha, he's what? Joyful. Remember that sloka, 1854? Joyful. All right, now faster.
Soul.
All right, what's this one? Of a self-realized person. We've got quite an audience out there watching. What are those people doing? But you'll be surprised because body language is 55% of communication. 55%. If you don't use it, you're cutting yourself out. You will learn faster and you will remember it longer. All right, let's go back down to number 11. Signal. Four fingers, thumb in. What's this one?
Varnashram.
Four varnas, four ashrams. That's the signal. Okay, faster now. Okay, you got quite a few of the topics down. You know them now. Was that hard? Anybody having a hard time? If I gave you that list to memorize and I said do it in 5 minutes, you'll say, I'm sorry, I have something else to do right now. And it would be boring. Everybody's smiling. You'd be surprised. This works, I tell you. I've seen people who are completely just come to life. Because they're learning. Learning is pleasurable. You don't need to bribe people. You don't need, oh, have a piece of candy if you learn. No, that degrades the whole process. All right, let's go to number three. Okay? This one is levels of knowledge. This has two parts. Levels of knowledge. We get all levels of knowledge, right? Today we had confidential, more confidential, most confidential. Now what's this one? B. How to receive it, right? From the guru through the parampara. If I can't get it from the guru through the parampara, it's not knowledge. It's sneshins. So what's this one again?
Knowledge.
Yeah, levels of knowledge and how to receive it. I have to approach a bona fide guru, surrender to him, and he has to be bona fide in the line of the a bona fide parampara. Otherwise, what you're getting is just conditional information, contaminated. Okay? Let's go now to number 10. 10A and 10B. Okay, hold up three fingers now. Okay. 10A and 10B both have to do with 3. Okay? 11 was 4-4, right? This one's 3-3. This is very important. This is Gyan. The relationship between Ishvara, Jiva, and Prakriti. Yes, nothing happens without all three ingredients. Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti. Both are enjoyers, but the material energy carries it out. Ishvara sanctions it. Jiva desires. Ishvara sanctions. Nature executes it. Everything that you see happening has been sanctioned by Krishna and is being carried out by material nature. Everything you see. All you did was desire. That's it. You don't act separately. That is a person who's bewildered. I did it. You didn't do anything. And you're not ever going to do anything. You can only desire. And you have to know what to desire. Now, part B is easy. It's also 3. And what is that one? The three modes. Big topic. Chapter 14, chapter 17, chapter 18. 17 items in the modes. Don't tell me we're not bound up. Why would Krishna talk about them so much? The emphasis one gives to something indicates the importance. The modes are very important. All right, now let us go back to number 4. Okay? Mind and sense. If you don't have control of your mind, if you don't have control of your senses, then you have no hope of practicing devotional service. Right? So what's number 4 again?
Mind and senses.
Okay, let's do a little bit of what we call a yo-yo drill. Up and down and up and down. Ever seen yo-yos? They're these little wooden things and they go up and down. Because that is how the South Indian Brahmins memorize verses. Don't think Yashoda made this up. No way. All the things I do have precedent, and they work. In South India, they go back and add one more, and then they go back, and then they add one, and then they learn a sloka. And they work together like this, not by themselves. Okay? They work in groups. Lawyers do this too. They study in groups. They have to memorize many laws. They study together. That's what we're doing. South Indian Brahmins and lawyer systems, that's what we're doing.
So,
self-realized person. relationship of Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti. And? Is anybody having a hard time learning? No. Okay, now we're going to do number 5. This has 2 parts. Okay, easy. What's number 5, A? Yoga practices, very extensively described. This is the first part section. Okay, yoga practices. Part B is very important part. Do I what? Do I renounce my work or do I what? Work in devotion. That's what Arjuna wanted to do. He wanted to give up his work. You don't give up the work. You work in devotion. So what's part 5A? Yoga practices. 5B? Do I renounce my work or do I work in devotion? You are covering the whole Bhagavad Gita right now, folks. And when you walk out of here, make this your meditation. Go teach somebody the signals. It's really easy and they'll smile. If they walk around depressed, hey, I know the secret. You don't need to take a pill. You can just try this. Okay, let us now try. We're going to skip number 6, and we're going to do 3 middle ones. This is the sandwich approach. This is how generals win a war. If you're going to fight an enemy, you have to work on all sides. You just don't come at them at one side. They can run off. You surround the enemy, and you get them in the middle. So when we talk about learning strategies, this is the same thing. Strategy. How do I learn something that I have to learn? We're going to do 7, 8, and 9 now, and then we'll go back to 6. I love number 7. It's my favorite one. Are you ready? You have number 7? What is it?
Defeating
impersonalism. Yes. Yes, big topic. It's so rampant in India. Oh, Brahman is the highest, and I'm God, and God is a man, and I'm God, and, you know, it's completely upside down. They don't even know their own philosophy, really. And they've convinced everybody of untruth. Okay? So what are we going to do with number 7? We're going to defeat impersonalism with the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada goes, there's not afraid. Prabhupada's not afraid of them at all. He knows the highest platform, and he knows the cut the truth. Okay, and now number 8. This is a nice one. What's that one? Demigod worship. What do the demigods do all the time? They shower flowers. Now, I don't see any falling on us, but let's hope someday they will, okay? So number 8 is number what? And number 9, I think you'll like this one. You have to do this. You have to look in the mirror. And as I get older, I hate doing it, but devotees, right. And non-devotees. Okay. 2 kinds of people, chapter 16, right? Suras and asuras. So let's do those middle 3, right? We're the generals now. This is our strategy. We've got the problem under control. What's this one again? And what's this one? Demigod worship. And what's this one? And non-devotees. Now we have number 6. That's it. Are we ready for the last one? Levels of God realization. Right. From Brahman to Paramatma to Bhagavan. And we end with Krishna. Did you like that?
Yes.
Okay. We've really run over time. We got a lot of apples. We got a lot of people out the back there watching us. But we did want to show a quick little thing, just 2 short things. I wanted to show you an orchestra, and it's pretty dramatic how people in the West spend so much money. They're so elaborate. And at least the music you're going to hear is from Ben-Hur, which was about, you know, Jesus. At least it's spiritual. But if they only would be chanting Hare Krishna. Now, I want you to see how the people are playing their parts, because this was part of do your work, don't do the guy next to you's work, and focus on the conductor. So please watch it. It's quite dramatic, okay? It's very short, but it's the music, and it's victory music, because it's the parade of the chariots, and we wanted you to just watch something pretty uplifting. And be sure with if you go, or you have to learn, you leave. Are they getting fruit as they go? Oh, she's forgetting. Yeah, please be sure people leaving early get prashadam, because we got 40 apples here, and it's your apple computer apple, and make sure you get your apple. Because you've been good little students, and I'm the teacher, but the student gets the apple today. Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
You look at the amount of money they spend. Okay, ready? Okay. It's such a spectacle. I cannot believe. Look at this. How many people are in the orchestra? At least it's about Jesus, right? Into it. And they had to pay for that. Now we're going to watch something that's free, that's spiritual. And you can only pray that someday they'll be going like this in numbers, so they'll hear about Krishna. Let's end it with something that an old video of Prabhupada out on the streets, no charge, and people are going to be saved from birth to death. Rathiatra, 1976. And it's really amazing. Prabhupada, at that age, 1 year before he departs, like this, ecstasy. Joyful. it there. So we thank you for participating in the conclusion. This is the perfection of renunciation in the age of Kali Yuga, Sankirtan Yajna. Hari Bol. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving this. Hare Krishna.